Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. Good morning, everybody. My name is Leo Brody. I'm your prayer practitioner for the day. And I'm joined in being a prayer practitioner by Beverly back there. And anybody wearing a stole is available at your service for prayer if you need it. Just let us know. And right now, I'm going to do the opening prayer. So join me in knowing that there is but one Spirit behind it all, behind everything, the source of all that is. The source of good, the source of truth, the source of love, the source of freedom. Any good that we can name is available to us because it's all around us all the time. That source lives in us and moves through us. And we bring it to life in a way. It brings us to life. But it lives through us, and we make it concrete in the physical world that we live in. That's both a gift to us. It's a responsibility and an opportunity to do good and be good, and to know that we are always supported in the good. The good is always supporting us. And so as we turn through our day and look around, we see people, we see that everybody is divine. Everybody is a divine being. What a gift to know that. And I know that this service is beautiful. This service is holy. And let this service be an opportunity for us to be seen and to be heard and to hear exactly what our heart needs to hear at this moment in this time. And I know that's true, because how else could it be? And so it is.
You know, when I look out to the community, out to the congregation, I know that there are people in this room that are going through a divorce. And I know that there's people in this room, probably online, recently came out of surgery. And I know that there's people in this room that have lost somebody recently. And I know that there's people in this room and online who may be having challenges that they've never told anybody about. There's people grieving a country they thought they believed in. There's people who look from the outside, who look like they have it all together, but on the inside, they're falling apart. And I'm not guessing. I know this room. I know you online. I've been doing ministry for 15 years. I've been in this teaching for 26 years. I've heard a lot of stories. But what I recognize that the thing most of us carry in private is not as singular as it feels. I do this thing called the affiliation circle at the Sister Spirit. Actually, pretty much every retreat I run, I love to do this activity called the affiliation circle. And it basically goes like this. You stand in a circle, and then I call out a human condition, and people walk into the center of the room. And it breaks. All of a sudden, people realize they're not alone. It's like people don't know that I had skin cancer a couple of years ago. People don't know that I lost two very close friends. One, death by suicide. Another one got hit by a train. People don't know that stuff. One of my best friends that I met in Foundations class when I first walked into my first Center for Spiritual Living, Reverend Divine Young, she and I looked across the room at each other. We saw each other. Wait, she was in the back. I was over here. We just saw each other and we're like, I know you. I don't know you, but I know you, you know? And she and I began this dance of being soul sisters. And she finally got her dream, which was to be a senior minister. And 6 months later, she died. And each of you have your own stories of sadness, of loss, of challenge, of difficulty. But we don't need to pretend. We can stop pretending together. See, Howard Thurman, who was a mystic, a theologian, he was somebody who Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Was mentored by. He wrote this. He said, "There's a fellowship of suffering as well as a community of sufferers. The energy of life becomes available when the conditions of single-mindedness are met, which means the very thing that we think isolates us, the very thing that we think makes us alone, the doubt, the uncertainty, the private wrestling, is actually the thing that when we stop hiding it and we bring it to light, it connects us most deeply." See, I love that exercise, the affiliation circle exercise, because people are seen, they're witnessed, and they realize when they step into the middle of the circle and there's somebody else, or maybe lots of somebody else's, they're not alone. And even when there's a condition that I say that they're the only person, they're loved up and supported. And I think the most important thing is that we're here in community. We're here to be in this thing called physical life together at this time. And we need to stop running from life's conditions and start speaking to them. That's what we're doing together. There's a Zen Buddhist story, and there's a master who has all of his students, and he goes to each of his students and says, "What have you learned?" And the student says this powerful, wise thing. And he says, "Oh, yes." And then he goes to the other student, "Well, what have you learned?" And the student says this powerful, wise thing. And he goes to each student, and each student is professing their wisdom and their clarity and what they've learned. And then he goes to a student in the back. He says, "Well, what have you learned?" And the student says, "I've learned that the more I've learned, the less certain I become about things." And the Zen master bows before the student and says, "Only you are ready." Because how many of us are doing performative certainty? I know all the answers. I know exactly where everything is going. See, the monk wasn't celebrating the confusion. He was celebrating the truth. And that "I'm not sure" is always more powerful than a performative certainty. Cole Arthur Riley, who's a contemplative current writer, she puts it plainly, in spiritual community, the pressure to appear certain becomes so intense that many of us profess beliefs that we don't really believe. People do that in politics too, by the way. And the cost isn't just personal, it's communal, because What we withhold from each other, we withhold from each other's nervous systems. Daniel Siegel at UCLA calls what happens when we are genuinely seen by another person, he calls it feeling felt. Feeling felt. And research shows that new neurointegration happens when we're feeling felt. And it can't happen alone. We did this class on candor this month in the 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership, candor. Now, how can I say something that is true? How can I say what I'm feeling or I'm having a thought that something is occurring in me, including admitting to my judgments, without accusing somebody else of them? So we did this exercise where one person talked about a challenging experience, and they said, these are the feelings that I'm experiencing, and I'm having a thought that this, and I'm noticing that I have a judgment about this. And the other person just listened. But then they reflected back what they heard. Not with advice, not with opinions, just reflecting back exactly what they heard. And by the end of the class, people had clarity and revelation and new directions and new options on where to go with those challenges. So I find that interesting. Feeling felt can open you up to new neural pathways. Now, there's no, like, I'm certain that this is going to happen. I'm certain that this, I'm going to do that. It wasn't a certainty. It was being in the uncertainty of it and just naming what was emerging as judgments, as doubts, as fears, as emotions in the body. And just in bringing that up, a newness emerged. I had a great week this week. I went to the dentist. Sorry to all the dentists out there. But I do have anxiety. I have, anybody else have anxiety around the desk? Okay. Yeah, well, I have this thing where Novocaine? Yeah, that's what it's called, the Novocaine. It doesn't always kick in right away. And so they have to use more of it and then more of it. And I've had dentists in the past, they use it and then they go in for the drilling and I can feel it. So I have a little bit of anxiety around that. Cindy, can you bring me the coffee cup there? Excuse me. All right. Not that I need coffee for this, but something that anyway, so I go to the dentist, and there's things that you know that you don't want the dentist to say, right? And I can make up stories, you know, you're like, oh God, are they going to be like, oops, or oh crap, or is it looking bad in there, you know? So I guess I took this monthly theme a little bit too seriously. Our monthly theme is the sacred crack, and I cracked my tooth. And, you know, she was, so I had to get a crown, an emergency crown. It's like, surprise, emergency crown. And she was grinding down my tooth, and she looks at my tooth, and then she goes, oh my God, that's beautiful. It's like, come check this out, to her assistant. And the assistant's like, oh yeah, that's really beautiful. Like after it had been ground down. And I was like, oh my God, that in all of my dreams, I had never imagined somebody saying like, oh my God, it's beautiful to my ground down tooth. And I was like, she's a keeper, by the way. But really, I mean, it's like, you don't realize how things that you say might affect other people, and that really was great to hear. I thought, thank God she said how beautiful my tooth is after being ground down. And I thought about how it's kind of like a little metaphor for our life, Because things happen where the crack happens, the crack. And then things get ground down and taken away. And then they put a new crown on. My wife said that's because I'm a queen, so I guess I deserved it. But the new crown is like a new piece of me now. It's a new piece of me, and maybe I hadn't expected it, but I am certainly grateful for it. I went through this whole process that was, can that be how we are experiencing life now? Where the crack happens and it's uncomfortable and it's painful and things get ground down and taken away. And yet, something new happens that is a benefit. There was a community elder in Western Kenya. Her name is Perpetua Otieno. And when conflict comes into her village, and she's had a lot of conflict, she's had displacement, she's had drought, she's had a lot of big things. She brings all the elders together and they do this thing called the sitting. The sitting. They all come together and they all just sit together. And they don't immediately go into problem solving. I don't know if you have this instinct of like, oh my gosh, we're gonna like, something's wrong, let's problem solve immediately. They don't do that. They sit in the uncomfortable in between. And they speak to, they name out loud what they've experienced, what they're feeling, what they don't know. They name what's uncertain. And they just let it rest there. Now, how many of you have been taught to just like sit in the liminal, in the in-between, and let it rest? Anybody? After they do that, they open themselves to the next highest good. And after that, they begin to discern what is theirs to do. And I think that there's a huge, powerful lesson in this. Because in metaphysical spaces, in spiritual traditions, oftentimes it's like, oh God, don't look at that. Don't admit that that's going on. Don't say that. But my tooth is cracked. How can I ignore it, you know? You have to bring to light and speak out loud and be in the liminal in order for the new to emerge. Otherwise, it's just residing there. Now, what if that's what's going on in your life right now? You know, the Mexican people have a tradition where the shamans have a portal to the spiritual world. But the only way they can get to the portal is by being in uncertainty. The only way they can get into the portal to connect with the infinite world beyond the physical is by being in the space of uncertainty. What if that's what's going on right now? What if instead of this whole thing that might be going on in your life or in the community or the country or the world is a portal opening up to the infinite everything? And what if the only way we can get to that deep and connected place is by being open in the liminal, in the space of the in-between, in the uncertainty? This may be a moment of preparation a moment of revealing, a moment of holding in all of that uncomfortability publicly in a way that allows something new to emerge. I might not know what it is. Actually, I'm very certain I don't know what it is. But what I do know is that there is an invisible everything that's always evolving itself into the highest version of itself, and that we're a part of it. And that sometimes my own belief systems or certainties prevent me from being open to something greater yet to be. So what I want you to do is we're going to do just a little collective exercise. I want you to bring your hand to your chest. Just hold it there. People online do this too. Notice what's actually present in your body. Maybe there's a tightness. Maybe there's a heaviness. You don't have to name it out loud. Just acknowledge it. Now, if you have some doubt or concern or worry, I want you to just pull it out of your chest and pull your hands in front of your, on top of your legs, and open them up in a place of availability. Palms up. And I want you to give it up. Just give it up. Just let it go. Give it up to the infinite universe that might know how to transform it. Just give it up. And say, I'm not the only holder of this. There is a presence, the infinite. There's something larger than this doubt. There's larger than this fear, larger than this uncertainty, larger than this problem that knows exactly what to do. And I'm going to let it carry this burden while I feel the freedom of release and surrender. So know that something has shifted. Because this is what it looks like when the community lets go and practices something together. And now go ahead and put your hands over your heart and just say thank you to yourself. And recognize that it can be as easy as that. You can be in the in-between, you can be in the unknown, and you can let whatever's going on go. And give it up to your possibility. You see, I was holding on real tightly to Center for Spiritual Living Seattle. I really, really want to be the spiritual director there. And I love that community. I do. But I didn't realize that all of you were here. And you were dreaming up something that looked exactly like me. And when I found you, it was literally a match made in heaven. But I don't know if you've had, like, you've been looking over here for something when really the answer's over here. And you're so mad and angry. Okay, I was so mad and angry. When really there was like this right here. And so I can forgive myself for being mad and angry. But you know, it's hindsight. And it looks so much better. Can I be in the in-between and know that that's what's emerging? Can I be in the in-between? Maybe you've had something like that happen where you can hold on to the idea that maybe something greater is emerging. And being in the in-between is the place where all the magic happens. It is uncomfortable. I am not going to lie. It is uncomfortable. but it is also the sacred place where the light comes in. So I want you to remember that you're not alone in your doubt, and that honest vulnerability helps spiritual community come together in a deeper way. And that the very uncertainty that you may be feeling is actually an indicator that the doorway to transformation is open and happening now. So let's pray. I recognize and know that I am in the liminal. I am in the in-between. I am in the unknowing, especially for me when it has to do with this beautiful country. I'm in the in-between with what it has to do with my house. I'm in the in-between knowing that truly that I am in the portal space of transformation. I let go of my doubts and worries and fears. I acknowledge them. I bring them to the light. I say, here they are. And I know that together in this community, seeing and feeling in connection, that there is something that HeartMath calls a deepened connection, an aligning, in training with each other, knowing that this revelation of consciousness that is the consciousness of the infinite love of spirit, it is moving in and through and as me, even in those in-between places, especially in those in-between places. I recognize and know that the baby doesn't say, oh my God, the time in the womb sucked. The baby is the place where the unfolding happens. But the time in the womb and the gestation is just as sacred and holy as the birth into the physical experience. And so I recognize and know that something miraculous is happening. I give up my doubts, my worries, my fears. I speak to them, but I don't hold on to them. And I let them go, and I'm grateful to know that something miraculous is happening in me. Something miraculous is happening in each and every person here. Something miraculous is emerging, and I don't know what it is, but I welcome it. I say yes to it. I know it is beautiful and sacred and holy, and I'm deeply grateful. As I know this for myself, I know this for each and every person here, and I know that it continues to unfold in bright and brilliant ways, and for that, I'm deeply grateful. And so I let this go, and I let it be. And so it is. Much love to all of you. Thank you.